Hi, I just wanted to share some of my experience that I had from being coached by Isabel at Peak Endurance. She's really passionate when it comes to running and where it can take you, and it gets really invested in your success. Also, I found the program to be very specific to the goals that I had, and by tapping into her experience and knowledge meant I had the confidence that I was going to achieve what I'd planned out. Every session that I did had some sort of purpose behind it, so there was no time wasted. Another benefit was that I found was listening to her podcast and following her social media page and being part of the groups. What's shared is really beneficial and motivating. I couldn't recommend her more. So thank you, Isabel. Thanks for all you do.
Hello and welcome to the Peak Endurance Podcast.
You were the reason we laughed is because I was poking him on the shoulder.
On the shoulder, Tom. You go.
It's only if you're on YouTube, would you know?
Right. Yes. So I'm your host, Ron Tate, along here with Isabel.
Tate. Your second host, your subsidiary host, yes. To the main host.
Yeah.
Ron.
I am the main host.
Yeah, you think so? anyway, yes, we're back. You know, 2 weeks in a row, bloody hell. What's even going on? Who are we?
Yeah.
So yes, we are kind of back.
Yep.
With a vengeance, with consistency, just like in running.
Very important.
Yes. And you know, thanks for all the support. We got a few people messaging us.
Yeah.
On Insta, I had Kim Russell, she said she just started listening to the latest podcast, and she was horrified to hear that we thought no one was listening. And she said, please don't quit. So she goes, I've been meaning to write in to say so, but, you know, life, which we know. So thank you, Kim. Then there was Christian McKinley,
yep.
And he was very glad we didn't decide to stop the pod. And he's letting us know we do have listeners, yes, as well.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yes, that's right. Then on YouTube, we had Matt Fagents give us a little message. I'm just, you know, working hard here to find that. Yeah.
So we had Matt and also.
Well, first of all, Matt said it was great to have him back on the air. Yes, always entertaining and I enjoy the laugh. But you guys always provide a great wrap of any runs you do. And they then go on the must look at list.
Yeah.
And I kind of know Matt. Well, I do know Matt because he's done some training webinars and he's attended the Poles Clinic. And, you know, we chat a bit on socials, as you do. Then also Andrew Wallace commented saying, great to have you back. You sold me on the Tarabolga. See?
Perfect.
Maybe next year.
Well worth it.
Yes. And his watch told him to take 2 days off after Sunday in the Dandies, but he took one. That was enough.
Yeah.
And Sandra also commented on that one, that she listened to her body last week, you know, which sometimes she listened to her body because she didn't need her watch to tell her she slept like shit. And then also Sandra got onto Spotify and commented and said it was great to have us back. I don't know how to even get to that one. I think I have to go through the podcast app, which is all very confuddling. But I did see it, Sandra. So, oh, there it is, interact. And we had one response. Glad you guys are back. Have missed your podcast and the banter between you two. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
So always good to get to know that, you know, well, I guess we knew people listen because it shows.
It does show that people are listening.
But we kind of just thought, but people, do they really? I don't know.
They might listen, but do they actually get anything
or
out?
Do they enjoy it? Or, yeah. And I kind of thought, well, no one, I did feel like no one was listening. You know how it is.
I know, you know, you don't do it, but I have a tendency to listen to podcasts, even if I'm not particularly interested, because they come onto my playlist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Whereas I'm very intentional with what I listen to. And if I don't like it, bang, I can stop. And it's going, you listen to it whether you like it or not.
That's right. If I start listening, I find it hard to stop, even if it doesn't interest
me. I'm a mercenary. It's just like, shit.
I listened to
like their voice.
Yeah, I listened to a podcast yesterday and it was like the person that they were interviewing was bothering me.
Which one was this?
It was Trail Runner Nation.
Oh.
And they had a guy on, he was spruiking some footwear. Some.
Oh, I have that next in line, so yeah, don't bother.
It's not great. He tends to disparage anyone that doesn't run as fast as him, and he talks himself up, you know, like he's one of the world's greatest runners. And, you know, one comment he said was, if you run a sub 4:30 marathon, is it even running? Or
really?
I don't think that's running. And I thought, that doesn't sound like a very nice attitude.
No, wow.
not the attitude to carry if you're trying to sell shoes to those people.
No, right?
So
rude. Sorry, yeah. I'm just looking up the podcast. So Mark Sisson.
Yeah.
Fitness expert and seasoned endurance athlete. What makes him a fitness expert, though?
Oh, I think he's just been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you an expert. Yeah. It makes you an expert of yourself, but it doesn't make you an expert. Oh, he's the primal guy. Yeah, he's like the primal blueprint.
He was trying to sell these
barefoot stuff, isn't he? Yeah,
type stuff. So
I'm not into.
He wasn't doing himself any favors, and it was starting to bother me, but I just couldn't be bothered. Stopping the podcast.
No, see, if I'd been listening, I'd have gone piss off. And yeah, no, because I can't handle. I don't want to run getting shitty with what I'm listening to. But you listen to it at work.
Well, I was actually walking when I was listening to it, so it probably made me walk a bit faster. Starting to get a real march on. So,
oh dearie me. Well, anyway. There you go. I won't listen to that one because that primal stuff, like, how does he know what we were doing, you know, when we were, you know, in the primal era of humanity? Like, seriously? Anyway, I just believe, and those kind of people are sort of talk about, you know, eating like we used to, but I just think just eat a variety of foods. Like, stop getting, like, he's built his whole career on a diet, essentially. Yeah. And I'm just a big believer in just eat a variety of foods, eat as much natural food as possible, and, you know, don't get so stressed about it. It's just bloody food. Like, just eat good quality, clean food 80% of the time and you'll be fine.
Yeah, and, I mean, I don't want to, you know, start a debate here, but, you know, people spruik the, I guess, the caveman diet. And
the primal diet.
Yeah, and first of all, we don't know how healthy those people were. And second of all,
they died at about 20.
That's right. Their life expectancy wasn't great. So we've probably advanced a little bit from then. So we should take what they ate with a grain of salt, so to speak.
Because they certainly didn't have salt.
No. So
their feed tasted shit.
So yes, they probably did eat it a long time ago, but it doesn't mean it was great.
No, they ate what was available.
That's right. Whatever crossed their path, they ate. Yeah, you know. Basically.
Yeah. So I mean, I think. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's all just a crock of shit, quite frankly. Just eat good, healthy food, and you'll be golden.
That's right.
Anyway, what have we been up to since Terrabuggle? We were a bit tired after it, weren't we?
Yeah, we
because it was such a long run for us. A whole 42Ks.
A lot of running and
mud sliding.
It was quite an effort.
Yes,
for us, you know, and our training, where our training had
been. Because we'd really dropped off because I freaked out a little bit about the whole mini airs thing.
Yeah.
Well, not freaked out, but just kind of it upset me and, you know, kind of put me off everything. And what's the point, you know?
So our training probably wasn't as good as it had been in recent times. And so
it's good times to take a break anyway, you know.
So the event just hit us a little bit harder than what we're expecting.
Because we used to just do 40K runs every weekend.
Yeah, that's right. So, we have taken a little while to get our energy levels back up again.
And that week after the race, I think it was the Thursday, I went for a run and it was dark, of course. and I ran out the driveway, ran up the road for like 150 meters and tripped on a bit of concrete that I'm always running it, never seen before, splat onto the ground. It was like 7 degrees, cold, dark, onto concrete with my bare knees and bare hands. God damn, my skin burnt. It was so painful. I was just lying there in the fetal position on the ground, holding my knees, pressing my painful hands against my painful knees, trying to stop the pain. just, you know, when you're in so much pain and you can't make any sound at all. That's what I was doing.
Yep.
Just cool. Thanking God it was dark and it was early and no one was on the streets and saw me being a spaz. And so anyway, then I, seriously, 180 metres. I looked at my Garmin, 180 metres from home. And then I was doing 15K and I ran the rest of the way with blood pouring down my knee and looking like a numpty.
Showing resilience.
Showing resilience. As I lay there in the fetal position, I'm like, do I just go home? And then I'm like, and then what am I going to do? Just sitting in pain at home? Well, might as well get my bloody run in regardless. Like, seriously. But my knee, I was just saying, well, firstly, my left knee, I still have to have a Band-Aid on it because it's still oozing. It just sticks to all my clothing. It's gross. I know you all wanted to hear that. And my other knee, when I went to yoga last night and knelt on, it's severely bruised, like the bone, in this really sort of weird spot. And it's like, oh, it's like I couldn't kneel on it. And that was a week ago. Well, yeah, because today's Thursday.
Yeah.
A week ago, and it's still incredibly painful. I'm like, whoa, I really bruised the bone there.
Yeah.
So, yes, I wasn't just being a sookie la la. It did actually hurt. But, yes, that was my adventure. And then we were in the city.
Yes,
I helped Em.
You did a bit of a run on Friday.
That's it. Yes, yep. Ran with Em Maber for a little bit for about 25K from Montrose to nearly at the Maroondah Hospital. But then I turned around and ran home. Because she had so many people and I figured, you know, she's all right from there and, you know, yep. I needed to get home anyway.
So what was Em Maber running for?
Well, she was on the pod.
Yeah,
she was raising money for the Eastern.
And we've spoken about it as well. But I'm just
for the Eastern hospitals, the William Angus, Maroondah and Box Hill for the children's departments. Yep. You know.
So when you say you ran from Montrose to Maroondah Hospital.
Nearly.
You didn't run you didn't run there directly.
No. We ran to the Angles Festival and we had to do sort of an eight and back to that because going to the Angles is not from Montrose is not really going to the city.
No, it's
quite the exit. Yeah. So we did an eight back. There was quite a few, it was a lot of people there at Angles. It was lovely. There was supposedly a lot of people at
Maroondah,
thank you. I nearly said Montrose again. Because like Scobie said, he was there. We were speaking to him at the gym the other day that there was lots of people at Maroondah. And he said they actually thought he was at
he
first.
He caused a false alarm.
Yeah, because he was running up early just to make sure everyone was there in his tutu and his long hair flowing. And everyone's like, here she comes. And he's like, no.
False alarm.
Yeah. And then on to Box Hill, where I'm sure it was good as well. And because we went into the city for our anniversary, we were there to watch her finish as well.
She finished just down just down the road from where we were staying. So we went for a wander down.
We had a drink and then we went out there and had a drink with everyone at the taxi bar, whatever crappy place that is.
Fed Square.
They had wine on tap.
Yes, and you can't beat wine on tap.
And the same price as bottled wine. It was like, you've got to be kidding me. That is wine on tap. Ugh, only in Australia.
Yeah. I'm tipping they're not hooking that tap up to bottles of wine either.
No, and maybe they're wine in it. It's like cask wine in a keg. Oh, fuck it out.
Oh, yeah, not cask wine. It's keg wine. I can't decide whether that's better or worse.
Oh, I don't know. No, worse, because the cask wine they make, well, I still don't like it.
I can't say I've had
it. But it's better than it used to. Well, no. We had some recently, but I don't know if you had it at a friend's place.
No, I didn't. I think I had a beer that day.
Yeah, probably good choice. Yeah. Because although it's better, it's no better.
It's not.
When I was young, I was on the cask one. I loved a bit of, you know.
Yeah, but that was back when quality wasn't as important.
No, as getting off your face.
As alcoholic content.
Yes, that's right.
So we cheered her on over the finish line.
Oh, and she was suffering because while I was with her, like her ITB was really hurting into her knee and, you know, and she was just suffering because that's what you do.
Yeah.
That's part of it, you know. Yeah. And like I was saying to her, like if it was an easy challenge, people wouldn't be donating all this money. I mean, people would because they're kind, but you know what I mean? They're like, wow, she's doing something really hard. If she's doing something really hard, what's an extra $20 out of our pocket, you know?
Yeah.
And some people donated way more than that. They made over 40 that made for the charity, over $40,000. So, I mean, she did an awesome job.
Yeah.
But you know, if it was just an easy challenge, people would be like, oh yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
You
that's
know.
right.
So no, it was awesome, and there were lots of people, and I wore a tutu too. And I look like, it's funny, everyone else puts a tutu on and they look kind of cool, and I put it on, I just look like a big dork. Like, what is it about me?
That's because you're super critical. No one else was thinking
I look, I saw the photos, like,
like
and everyone else looks, oh, they look cool and fun, and I look like a dork. Like, it just looks, it's just, I don't know, there's something like, you know, it's the same with trucker hats. People put trucker hats on, you go, wow, they look cool. I put on, like, you go, what a numpty.
that.
And I just look terrible. So I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you might be being a bit too overcritical, but
I don't think so. I think I'm just being honest. Anyhow, so next time you see me, I'll be wearing a trucker hat and a
yeah, that's
tutu.
right. Yeah, maybe one cancels out the other one.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
don't know. I don't
know.
know. Anyway,
Yeah.
there's just something about the way I run, I think, that makes
Yeah.
me look like a dork. But it was great, and Em did great,
Yeah.
and you know, it was a real great thing to see, you know, and I remember finishing in the city after my 250 k's from Buller, and geez, it's hardcore, you know,
Yeah.
it's hard
Yeah.
doing that sort of shit. Anyway, she was been eating up a storm, and you know, recovering well, and like she said, the next day her ITB and knee were absolutely fine, you
Yeah.
know.
That's
It's
what
always
happens.
the way
Yep.
the body freaks out. It's trying to go, all right, she won't stop, I'll do this, she's not
Yeah.
stopping, I'll do this, I'll make this hurt, I'll make that
Yeah,
hurt.
that's right. We're really going to test
yeah
how much she
yeah
wants this.
yeah yeah
Yep.
So anyway, you know, anyway, she did really well, and while we were out, we went to teppanyaki, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we on the Saturday night we
Went to
want
teppanyaki.
yeah we wanted to go to a nice restaurant, so we booked a table or bench, or I don't know what you call it, at the local
See?
at the teppanyaki place.
And that's where we met Irene and Vladimir.
Yeah,
And
Vladimir.
Vladimir, sorry.
Yes, we met them while we were getting egg thrown at us.
Yes. And so Irene was actually from Italy, and
Yeah.
Vladimir is obviously from
Obviously,
Russian.
from Russia.
From Russian. I said, Jesus, I've
Yeah.
just lost the ability to speak. Vladimir, clearly English is my second language. And
It
he spoke English better than me.
did.
He spoke very good English,
He
like
did.
virtually no accent.
That's right. And he was telling us when he came to Australia, I think he said he was 13 or something like that, and
Anyway, I've
he
known
couldn't speak
any
any
English,
English at
and
all.
I've known people who've come over and same age approximately and couldn't speak any, and they have incredibly strong accents, and it'd
Yeah.
be hard to understand. My mum, admittedly, she was an adult when she came here, but she was here for 40 odd years, and she still had a strong accent. I've got an accent, and for Christ's sakes, I have barely lived overseas.
Yeah.
Anyway,
But
so
yes, we met them. They were sitting beside us at the table, and they were a lovely couple.
yeah, lovely. Yep, young
Young, 20 in their
compared
20s. But
29-ish.
yeah.
It's young to us,
Yeah. But
mere babies.
just a, you know, we struck up a bit of conversation with them at the end, and they
Yeah.
were just, yeah,
So
so
nice.
nice.
So nice. Yep.
Vladimir was telling us that he's just taken up running and had just done his first half marathon, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, so he was, you know, happy to talk about running with us, which we're always happy to talk about.
That's all we talk
But
about.
we also, you know, talking about, you know, because they're both from Europe, so we were talking
Talking about our
about
trip to
our
Europe.
trip to Europe and,
Yeah.
you know, the state of the world and all that sort of stuff that you talk about.
And they were both really smart people, weren't
Oh, they
they?
were
I've
both.
forgotten what they, but they was smart. I felt like they were the
Yeah,
dumbass
he
compared
was
to
an engineer
me, of some
of
description.
on railway lines,
Yeah.
and she was
Something really amazing. I
yeah,
forget.
she was like a neuroscientist or
Yeah,
something like that.
we'd had a couple of bottles of wine by
Yes,
this stage, so you know, bear with
I think we
us.
were about two bottles in by that
Yeah.
stage.
And that was after the espresso martini.
Yeah,
So,
that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
so yeah, I think she was. She said she was a
Yes. Yeah.
neuroscientist.
And
So,
I'm like, well, I'm a running coach.
so,
Snap.
so, but yeah, really nice people to talk to.
Yeah.
Hello to Irene and Vladimir.
Yes. We said we'd mention them and that they'd better listen.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll know.
Yeah, and earlier on, like, because, you know, whenever we go somewhere, we run to have a look around. We We
went for a run.
Went for a 15K loop.
Yep.
Which incorporated the Tan track, the Albert Park Lake track, and then along the beach.
Which, God.
Which when we were planning it, it's like, that'd be nice. Yeah, it'd be nice to run along the beach. And then as soon as we started running along the beach, Isabel was, what is this? This is shit.
This is boring. It's like, oh my God, it's so flat and it's grey and it's ugly. I mean, you know, I guess I was thinking of the Gold Coast beach. I was thinking,
the
Port Phillip Bay.
Port Melbourne Beach is not the best of beaches. It's not the sunny Gold Coast or anything like that.
It's the grey coast.
So
they smelt of brine.
I think we ran about 5Ks along.
Oh my God. And 5 torturous Ks. Luckily, I know how to suffer in silence.
Yes, you do. You didn't mention anything about it.
I didn't often go, well, are we there yet? When do we turn?
When I looked at the map at one stage and we're only about halfway along. But,
and I cracked the shit. No, I mean, I didn't, but I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
Lord, save me now. Admittedly, we had run along there before, which is why we kind of knew where we were going to turn, because we'd done the Frankston to Melbourne with, you know, Nikki and a few other people.
John Yoon.
You know, we had PBs along there.
Yeah, because clearly we was a 45K run.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it was during the COVID time, so it was one of those one days when we had lockdown.
I think it was between 3 and 4 or something like
3A and 4B and fucking I don't know. Anyway, don't get me started.
No, we won't get started on that. That's long gone.
Not in my memory. I'm still bitter and twisted about it all.
Nice run running somewhere where we wouldn't ordinarily run.
Yes. And it is nice to do that sort of thing, to, you know, tourist run kind of thing. And like you said, we probably should have done the park run, but it was nice to also just get up at a relaxed pace.
Yeah.
You know, the Albert Park park run. I mean, I've done that and I've done, I'm sick of races around there, to be fair. Which is what I was whinging about around there, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And
there was like a rowing regatta, so there was lots of people around.
Which was fine, you know, and at least we could watch the people.
We were racing someone in.
Yeah, they were doing their warm-up.
Yeah, but we still nearly beat them.
Yeah.
Until they decided to do a.
Yeah, until they did like their strides in their warm-up and then we're like, oh,
they
shit.
Took off and we're like, oh, okay.
Oh, they were going slow. Oh. Okay. So that was that. And one thing, you know, that I noticed and, you know, commented on to Ron was people running around the Tan, not the Tan, the lake, you know, and you can see that, you can tell that obviously it was Saturday, so they're doing that long, easy run. And I'm, for those listening, I'm using air quotes because they were not doing an easy run.
No.
They were working hard. And the thing is, they'll be the people who are working hard without thinking they're doing an easy run and then going, why am I plateauing? Why am I not getting any faster? Because basically their fast pace is only 10 seconds slower than the, 10 seconds faster than their easy run pace. So their easy run pace and their fast pace are like 10 seconds apart. Your easy run pace should be, you know, a lot slower. It should feel slow and easy. And then later in the day, we saw this group of 3 people running easy, and you could tell from the look of them, they were.
They looked like
the guy was wearing shorty shorts, and if they're wearing shorty shorts with splits up the side, you know that they're fit. That
they're run, yeah.
Right, they're the people from AV and whatnot.
Yeah,
and they were sort of bouncing along, taking it easy, but you could see they were running slow.
Yeah, they were.
But they weren't ashamed to run slow because they knew that when they run fast, they run freaking fast.
Yeah,
and yet the day to day runners are out there proving to Strava that they're not slow by running their easy runs fast.
They run a 450 pace easy run, you know, as they label easy, you know, easy run on their Strava.
And they put easy run and everyone's like, whoa, I don't think they were doing 450 pace. No, let's say 510 pace, easy run, or 5 minute pace, easy run. But maybe it was 450. And then when they race, it's pretty much the same pace because they can't hold a faster pace for a long time because their body is, it's just, it's worn out. It's the gray zone, and the gray zone is it's like a vortex of doom. It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
That's where runners go to die.
All races disappear. Yeah,
that's it, because they run and then they go to do their speed work, but they can't get that really fast speed work because their body is a little bit tired all the time. But those people who you could see were really quite fast people, and they were just, they made that slow run look, you could see it looked easy. You could see it was easy. They were just...
They were chatting and...
Chatting.
You know, and once again, that's why we say easy runs are at conversational pace. Yeah. They were... You know, there was three of them. They were all chatting away and just,
you know, leaning over and looking at each other as they were chatting. And you could see that they weren't going, oh, my God, oh, no, I'm too slow. Oh, what's Strava going to think? And, look, I get it because I'm a little bit the same. I see my easy runs and I go, oh, God, that looks so slow. But I also like to listen to my body and, you know, and I know when I was training for my last time I trained properly for a marathon, I burnt myself out. I mean, because I was, you know, doing my easy runs at 4:30 pace and my race pace was 4:15 pace. I mean, how ridiculous. It was meant to be faster than that, but I just couldn't maintain it because guess what? I was burnt out. Now, obviously I was, you know, anyway, whatever. I'm not going to go into why I was doing those paces, but I was running my easy runs too fast. I should have been running 5 minute pace, or probably if my goal was to, you know, run around 4:10 pace for the marathon, I should have been running, you know, 5:10 pace at least in my easy runs to give my body a chance to recover. Anyway, that marathon burnt me out so bad. I didn't run another marathon for 10 years. And then that next one was just for fun anyway. Right. So, you know, I'm talking from experience of having done the wrong thing too. So I'm not denigrating people or being mean because, you know, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Got the medal to prove I was an idiot. So, you know, run your easy runs easy. Okay. It's like we were talking about last week with listening to your body.
Yeah.
It's all about learning to listen to your body. So what pace, you know, Strava, like really you're letting that rule you and guide you and tell you what you should do, like what people think. Who gives a flying pig what people think?
One thing we always talk about, you know, is no one's going to remember it. Like you run, you know, a 5 minute pace and label it as an easy run today. Tomorrow, no one's going to remember that.
No,
you know, you're not impressing anyone because no one will remember.
People maybe like, you know, they're scrolling through Strava, it's flick, 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 like flick, like flick.
Yeah,
like, it's the same with social media. Like,
you might as well be looking after yourself,
look rather after than your body, rather
look after your reputation on Strava.
Yeah, yeah. And then, do you know what people will remember? Oh, look what they did that marathon in, or that ultra. You know, like people are more impressed with that. Even then, they forget.
Yeah, no, they'll still forget tomorrow. But
yeah, they'll still forget. Like, you know, I've won races, and people wouldn't have a clue, except I keep telling people. but you know what I mean? Like, literally. And personally, even I've forgotten the times I won these races in some of them, you know? And it's like, that's how little it matters. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Run for you. Anyway, which kind of leads us on to what this topic of this podcast is. And the topic of the podcast is ultra runners need to pay their dues.
Yeah.
Or all runners do, ultimately. Like, you wouldn't start running, or you shouldn't. And I know shouldn't, oh, no, you know, you can't say that. Well, you can. You shouldn't start running and instantly do a marathon.
That's right.
Right? You don't start running and 3 weeks later do a marathon.
That's right. And, you know, it's
really... Well, you might, but that's going to be your first and last race probably.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you're never going to do your best.
Not do what you're physically and capable of,
yeah.
You know, potential capability.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about is that many people start running. They start running, go, oh, I love this. I love this.
Yeah.
And look how much I'm improving. And this is awesome. Right. I'm going to sign up for that 100K race. And then, oh my God, that went super well. 2 months later, I'm going to do another 100K race. Oh, and 2 months later, I'm going to do 100 miler. And ultimately, 6 months later, they're not running anymore.
Yeah, they're crippled with injury. They've got a stress fracture in their foot.
Yeah.
They had a great 6 months of running, but that's pretty much it.
And also they're, you know, they've lost all their friendships and, you know, because they all they do is training. So ultimately there is a progression to running. So you start running and you build your kilometers slowly and you do a half marathon. Then you do a marathon. You might even start with a 10K. You might even start with a 5K.
Yeah.
5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon. Then you do a couple of 50Ks. And, you know, this might be a 2 to 3 year process.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, it probably should be. And then you go to 100K.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what happens over that time is you build the tendon and ligament strength in your body. You build the muscular strength. You build the heart and lungs. You build the mental capacity to deal with it. You learn so much. You make so many mistakes. And you learn so much from all of those mistakes that you made that you then, when you get to the 100K, you've kind of learned most of it. And then you're more, like my first 100K went really well. It was actually a really successful race. I did UTA, as it was called back in the day, in 12 hours 40. It was my first 100K. I came seventh. And I had never run that far before. The furthest, obviously, I'd done was 50K. And that 50K, yeah, well, anyway, it ended up being awesome.
Yeah.
Hard, don't get me wrong. Oh, I was suffering by the end and was wishing someone could come and pick me up. But, and some guy in the race ended up, you know, running with me, you know, come on, you can do it, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then I did 100Ks for a few years before I went on to milers. I perfected the art of the 100K, and then you move on to 100 milers.
Yeah.
And you're more likely to be successful at the 100 milers. And by then you've also, because 100Ks and 100 milers are quite hard on the body. 100Ks gets that body ready. It toughens the feet up. It does this, it does that, you know, and then you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, people say, oh, yeah, but I'm fit. I knocked out a 40K run the other day. But you can be as fit as you like. You've still got to train your ligaments and your muscles to be able to cope with, you know, 10 to 20 hours on your feet moving. That's, you know, very few people, their body is strong enough to do that off the bat.
And sure, you might be able to get away with it once or twice, but ultimately you're wearing the body out. Like, yes, born to run, but really born to run 100Ks every couple of months? Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. You know, certainly I used to, after all my 100K races, you know, before I did all this once every month, which I was feeding that whole wrong mentality and I regret it. And I still kind of want to do it and finish the 12 and 12, but shh, Isabel,
let's not go there.
Anyway, I used to take a full month off running, like a full month. And, you know, the first week I'd just do walks. By the second week I'd be going and doing spin classes and just doing different things. And I'd be riding my bike and for a couple of weeks. And then probably by the fourth week I'd be doing the odd run. And then after a month, then I would get back into proper structured training. Right.
Yeah.
And people just seem to go from race to race to race without, because you can't see or feel all the damage that has been done to the body until you do too many. And then you're like, why am I injured all the time?
And sure, you can do it. Like, there's nothing saying you can't physically but
as you saw from my 100 things, I was not getting quality running.
You will not do your best.
And I ended up not enjoying it. I thought it'd be kind of enjoyable not going, you know, pushing myself, just taking it easy, you know. No, it just ended up being a suffer fest, like from the first kilometer.
Even when you weren't particularly pushing it hard.
Yeah, because my body was like, oh, not this again, off the love of God.
Didn't we just do one of these?
No, we meant to have recovery.
Yeah.
So
you're certainly not getting the best out of yourself.
No.
You're not, you know, you will stop enjoying it. You see, I mean, all the time you see elite runners where they're a flash in the pan. They'll come out and they'll be smashing out all these hundreds and then you never hear from them again.
But the racers, the athletes that you see that are around for a long time, like, you know, they tend to be more judicious in the races they choose, and they don't do every race out there, and they, you know, take an off season.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is with Australia, it's really hard to take an off season. Like in Europe and in North America, you know, it's snowing.
Yeah.
And to be fair though, when I was in Canada, I was running through the snow too. So
whatever. That was because you took an Australian attitude across Canada.
That's probably, right. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did. And we just run all freaking year.
Yeah, we like, do.
Literally all year. Yeah. We do not have an off season.
That's right.
You know, and there's a lot to be said for an off season.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually good for you. And, you know, I did used to take an off season, like I said, and used to, you know, ride my mountain bike and have a bit of fun doing that, reconnecting with my MTB friends and just doing something different. And, you know, and I guess that's kind of what we did just recently. You know, I just needed, admittedly, we still ran, but I just, you know, I just didn't want to think about racing and just totally unstructured and just whatever.
That's right.
But
if you look into the race, people like Killian, I don't know if Jim Walmsley does it, but
I'm pretty sure he does.
Yeah, they have other, like Schemo, which is big in the Northern Hemisphere. Obviously, it's no good in Australia because we don't have the snow fields for it.
Or the hills.
Yeah, but they will take a full, you know, month or more.
3 months.
Off running.
2 to 3 months.
Running, you know, competitively, and they hit the slopes, which obviously is not the pounding that is in running. And, you know, they will barely run. I think we're watching the Golden Trail Series, and the American woman.
She moved to Europe.
Yeah, she wasn't running. Like she was doing the ski.
And she wasn't even doing ultras.
No.
She does short races because the Golden Trail Series is, you know, maxi marathon, I think.
Yeah.
And they take an off season.
Yeah, she was fully not running through the off season.
Yeah, and I mean, and yet in Australia, so I get it, in Australia it is, you know, so easy to just run the whole time.
Yeah.
But you need to honour your body. Your body works bloody hard. And you need to also, I used to use that time to, you know, like I said, catch up with different friends and just do something different so that I wasn't so, you know, run-centric 24/7. And it's just, you know, it's just healthy for your mind and your body. And like I said, you need to pay your dues. You need to stop trying to rush the process. You have plenty of time. Everyone's like, but I've got to do this race. No, there's plenty of time.
People in their 30s going, I've got to do this race. Oh, I want to do this race this year as well. The race will still be there next year.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you got plenty of time.
You got plenty of time.
You'll enjoy that if you do it next year with some training and some rest under your belt, you'll enjoy it a lot more.
You know, like really, what is it? I've been doing this for nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had the odd injury when I was first sort of running, and then when I first was really running hard, I did have some injuries because I pushed it too hard, and also I wasn't eating properly to sustain it, and I had a lot of other stresses in my life at that time. But basically I've been running for a long time without much time off running compared to how long I've been running.
Yeah.
That sentence was badly constructed. But you know what I mean. So, you know, take my word for it. I'm not making this shit up.
Yeah.
You know, there's research on it and there's anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and even if, you know, because in Australia we tend to have our seasons around the other way, like
it's because we're opposite to the
northern. So even if you have an off season in the summer months, in the hottest months of the year. Yeah,
that's probably better.
And because let's face it, June, July in Australia, it's the middle of winter, but it's actually pretty good running time.
It's actually better. It's nicer to run in the cold than in 35 degrees.
So instead of taking your break in the middle of winter, take your break in the middle of summer.
And that's Christmas. Yeah. Have a few drinks, catch up with friends. Yeah, and if you don't drink, that's fine. Have some yummy foods where you're not having to worry about being race weight.
Yeah.
You know, and just enjoy life, you know. Spend some time at the beach. Do some relaxing things, you know, like chill out. And give back to those loved ones who support you during your running, focused running time.
Yeah.
You know, and Yeah, you're right. That's a good point that, you know, maybe take the time in summer. You know, and it could be just a month, you know. But like I said, I used to do two 100K races a year, and I would take a month each time. So that was 2 months off, pretty much fully off running a year, you know, and I didn't suffer for it. I raced really well. You know, I did that first UTA in May. I would presume early May it was. And then I did Go in October and I came second in Go and I did an 1140. So I did it narrow quicker, admittedly less climbing.
Less fun, yeah.
But you know, that's because that was a good amount of time between. I had a month off after UTA and then I rebuilt. And then after Go, I probably had a bit more than a month off because it was close to Christmas and I probably went, oh, well, you know. But yeah, so, you know, like, it doesn't mean your performance is going to deteriorate if you take time off. It actually means
Means
it's
you
going to
recover.
improve,
Yeah, that's right.
you know. And
Recover,
I'm not
build up
saying,
properly.
yeah, take time off and sit on the couch and watch Netflix and eat Cheetos.
No.
We're saying do something else.
Yep.
Move your body in a
Mix
different
it up a
way.
bit.
You know, I used to do a lot of cycling back then, and, you know, go to the gym and do different classes, you know, for a bit of fun, you
Swim
know.
if that's your thing.
Yeah, swim.
Play a team sport if that's your thing.
Yeah, you know,
You know,
getting to
get active, but
do
just
some
in a
yoga.
different way.
Yeah, just in a different way. And it's good for the body, it's good for the mind. It makes you really crave running again and really love running again because you sort of get to that end of the training process and you're knackered, you've been working so hard for so long, and you've had this focus, and oh my God. And then you have a break and it's like, and then you're like chomping at the bit to run again.
That's right.
Whereas if you just keep going, eventually you're just going to get sick of it and you're going to chuck it in. And that's if you don't get injured. So, you know, ultra running is not going anywhere. Running is not going anywhere. So chill out. You don't have to do all the races this year, next year. Like I said, I've been doing this nearly 20 years and all the same races are still there, most of them.
And more
And
races
60
coming
million
up
more.
every year. So,
60,
yeah. So,
it used to be like, oh my God, trying to find a trail race to do that. That's why I was a road runner, because there wasn't that many trail races. Now it's like there's one every weekend, which is part of the problem. So many races and everyone wants to race them all, you know. But you can do the shorter races as build-up races and practice races where you're testing out kit and nutrition plans, but you don't need to go at 100% at all of your, like, you've got to just decide. I would have, you know, my A races and then I'd have B and C races, you know, and
That's right.
I would go hard, but not as hard as I would in an A race. You know, you would treat it more like a tempo sort of effort.
That's right. I mean, you know, Tarrabulga just the other week was definitely not an A race for us, but we had a ball. Like, you
Yeah,
know,
that was like a D race. I mean, it's a great race, but we weren't training or
we
focusing.
stopped and took some photos, and
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know, it was a fun day,
Yeah, it was a good
and
fun day.
you know.
We chatted with people and, you know, yeah, we certainly weren't treating it as a race. And I get that some people aren't like that. Like I didn't used to be like that. I would never have done that. I always was, you know, although I wasn't, you know, necessarily going gung ho at every race, I was still always serious. Maybe too serious for my own good, you know. But that was my way of enjoying it, which is fine. You know, we all have different ways of enjoying it. But I would use, you know, use it as training in the build up to the bigger races. You know, another thing is you don't need to do these super long training runs to get ready for a race either. Like the best philosophy is to do as little as possible to get you to your goal because, you know, and I'm not saying the minimum, but the little as possible that gets the best results. If doing 100 Ks a week gets you the best result, there's no point in doing 160 miles or 160 kilometers a week just because that's what the top athletes do. That might be what they need, but you might only need 100 Ks. And if you're doing 160 because, oh, that's what everyone else does, you're just fatiguing the body. If 100 Ks works for you, then do 100 Ks.
I was listening to Bad Boy Running
Yeah.
the other day, and their interview it
That
was
was with the
actually
hardest geezer.
No. It
Oh.
was actually an old podcast that they were replaying of Jasmine Paris.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she was saying that she was doing 80 to 100 Ks a week.
That's right. You don't have to do monster Ks to be an awesome athlete. You know, I used to do around 100 to 130 Ks a week. Mm. And that's kind of my sweet spot.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing about 100 Ks a week and I'm finding that's more my sweet spot now. Yeah. But yeah, you do, a lot of these top athletes actually don't do massive Ks.
No.
A few of them do, like Jim Walmsley, I think, is the client who does massive Ks. Yeah. But not everybody does because every human body is so different. And that's, you know, in my coaching that or and you too, that we do for our athletes, we don't give everyone the same Ks because everybody is different. You know, we adapt it to suit their physiology and also their life.
That's right, yeah.
You know, because everyone has different commitments in life and our plans reflect that. Like we don't go, well, if you're training for a miler, you have to do 150 Ks a week. That's what everybody is going to do.
Yeah.
You know, obviously for a miler, you want to do a fair few Ks, but each client will do something different. Same if they're doing a 50K, we're not saying, oh, well, you know, this is the Ks to do that. No, each client is different.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously volume counts, but you don't need to do massive, massive volume every single week for, you know, eternity.
Yeah.
So, yes, so that's that.
Yes.
Mm.
So I hope we've made some sense this week.
As opposed to all the other weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, so the bottom line is don't do everything that is do like is there to do within a year. Like
just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. You know, just you know, space it out, take your time. Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Enjoy it and get the best out of your body that you can.
Yeah.
I mean, and some people go, oh, well, I'm just doing it for fun, which is fine. But just really make sure you're being honest with yourself and that you're running for fun at a fun pace and that it actually is fun.
Yeah.
You know, and that you're not getting injured all the time and that sort of stuff.
That's right. And you know, maybe stop and think, would this be a whole lot more fun if I was actually rested before I came here?
Yeah.
You know, because fun, there's fun and then there's fun.
Yeah.
what do you call it? Type 2 fun?
Type 2 fun
and type 1 fun?
Yes. Well, type 1 fun is supposedly fun in the moment, which a lot of running is not. Sometimes it is. And I often have type 1 fun in races. But type 2 fun is when it was so painful and horrible, it's only fun in your memory.
Yeah.
But, you know, but even then, you know, like I used to find the races painful and uncomfortable because I was pushing hard. But that's the thing. If you're pushing really hard in a race, it will be painful and uncomfortable and you will actually need the recovery. Yeah. Like you'll seriously need it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We all have different goals, but just try not to overrace and enjoy it. Enjoy the process. Take it easy. Take a chill pill.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rush. You know, those races will still be there, like you said.
That's right. And running is fun.
It is fun. Look at me. I've got Peak Endurance Coaching and you've got Nike.
Nike, yes, because I'm sponsored.
Spruiking that. Spruiking Nike. Good
why,
on you.
Why do you laugh when I say I'm sponsored? I could be sponsored.
You could be. Yeah. Don't know why.
No, they don't really sponsor people not to run, do they?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, sponsoring the everyday runner.
Yeah.
All right. So I hope you're all doing well and you're having fun and enjoying life and enjoying running. And we will now go.
Yep. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. See you later, everybody.